Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Friday, August 12th, 2022. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, it's finally here. The House is taking up the reconciliation package. Number two, the latest on the FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago. And number three, can Republicans actually whiff on the midterms? All right, Jake, let's get into it. We have been covering the twists and turns for the past 18 months of this reconciliation package in many different names, in many different iterations, but it has finally come to the House, which is expected to vote on this package later today. And at least so far, it looks like it's going to pass.
Yes, it does. Famous last words, maybe, but no, I do think it's going to pass. I think that the leadership has this under control. Theoretically, there is a four vote cushion here. So that means Pelosi, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and Steny Hoyer, and House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn have could lose four people before this is a problem for them, and they could still pass it. Now, the couple things signaled to me that they're going to be okay here. So the number one thing is that they're only in for a day. Now, part of that had to do with the fact that there was the funeral yesterday of Jackie Walorski, the Indiana congresswoman who died in that tragic car crash. But, you know, we're not hearing any we need to be here for the weekend situation. We're not hearing anything like that. And there's no House Democratic caucus meeting as of now. That would signal to us that there might be a problem. So that is just the... So our baseline assumption at this point, based on our reporting, is that this is going to pass. So let's talk about the timeline, because I think most people who are listening to this podcast, or at least a good chunk of them, are interested in what time their bosses are going to be out of town. Although, listen, as we note in the newsletter this morning, Anna, there are more than 150 people who have said they might vote proxy today. So that would be vote remotely. I think it's going to be a pretty empty building. But here's the timeline. House comes into session at 10, and they will vote on the rule that sets parameters for debate. That is the one kind of procedural hurdle of that they need to clear. Then there will be 3 hours of debate equally divided between budget, ways and means, and energy and commerce. There are no amendments in order here. So this is a Senate amendment to a House bill. Technically, that's just a technicality. So that means no amendments. The House will vote, theoretically, we believe, in the 3 o'clock hour, 4 o'clock hour. That would not be surprising to us. It's going to take a little bit longer than usual just because so many people are voting proxy. When you vote proxy, a member of Congress has to stand up at the podium and read the proxy, read who they're voting for, and that takes a little bit longer. So after this, the House is out until September. Not that long, frankly, because it's already August 12th. But a big victory, Anna, for Biden, for President Joe Biden, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the interesting thing is going to be who does actually vote against this bill, right? As you note, 4 votes. That's a very, very slim margin. As we note in Punchbowl News AM this morning, one of those votes might be in question. We don't know because he didn't respond to a request for comment, but Jared Golden, the Democrat from Maine, often one of those Democrats who bucks the party line, has not committed to voting for the bill. So that's going to be certainly one that we are going to be watching. But the other thing that is just a little bit interesting is, you know, one thing that's missing from today is that police funding legislation, right? That is what has been really, you know, kept the focus of a lot of House Democrats, of the moderates, who really wanted to pass something before going back to voters over the August recess. And that is not part of the agenda for today.
No police reform bill, police funding bill, rather. Mostly because a few reasons. The progressives are pretty pissed off by it. And again, there's a decent point here that some people have made. And the point is, why step on your message with reconciliation with a messy fight over police funding? Now, the fact that police, some moderates would say, and Republicans would say, the fact that there's a messy fight on police funding is in and of itself an interesting story, and in and of itself indicates to them that there is a, that Democrats want to, you know, not fund police. Now, I think that's a bit too far, but moderates are pretty pissed off, and I don't blame them. They've been promised this package for a while. They feel like they're going to have a campaign season filled with Republicans saying they're soft on crime and they want to defund the police. They want to beat back on that narrative, and they're having a little bit of trouble beating back on that narrative.
All right, let's go on the number two story of the morning. Of course, the biggest news this week that has been dominating cable television and a lot of the headlines is that former President Donald Trump's home down at Mar-a-Lago was searched by the FBI. And of course, yesterday, the big drama was that Attorney General Merrick Garland addressed this issue and kind of some of the criticism of that raid. Now, former President Donald Trump announced late last night that you might have missed this one, that he won't oppose the release of documents related to a search warrant used by FBI agents to seize boxes of reportedly classified materials from Mar-a-Lago. This is another twist in, the war of words, at least so far. That's what it really has been. But about what was actually taken from Mar-a-Lago and how sensitive it was. And there's a lot of things that are coming out in terms of, you know, what exactly these documents are and, you know, how sensitive they actually were.
You know, the Washington Post is reporting this morning that they were after, again, nuclear-related documents in Mar-a-Lago. The Washington Post story does not indicate one way or another whether they found said nuclear-related documents. I'm not even sure what to say here, Anna. I mean, clearly the FBI and the Department of Justice and the intelligence community believe Donald Trump had something quite important in his possession. Now, they subpoenaed, as we note in the item this morning, they have subpoenaed videotapes from Mar-a-Lago also. So they want to know what it would appear to signal is they not only wanted to know what they had, but they also wanted to know who was in and out of the place. Here's the political thing that's interesting to me. House Republicans, not Senate Republicans, House Republicans have been very quick to defend Trump here and say that the Department of Justice and the FBI had been too aggressive and overzealous, I guess, to an extent. And they jumped to his defense quite quickly. And, I'm not sure that was the right move. There's just so much we don't know. Now, if Trump wants these documents released, it seems like they're going to be released. So the court has set, I think, today at a certain, I think this afternoon, as a time for the president to lodge his complaints or lodge his opinion on whether these documents can be released. Now, I imagine these documents are going to be pretty heavily redacted. So we're not going to know precisely what they either thought was in there or what they had obtained from there. But what a bizarre, crazy story. I mean, just absolutely wild. I'm not sure what to make of it. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, I think to your point of Republicans kind of leaping to Donald Trump's defense this morning at 9 a.m., Representative Mike Turner, the Republican from Ohio, the top Republican on the House Intel Committee, and some of his fellow committee members are going to be holding a news conference on the FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago.
I have a sneaking suspicion that might be canceled. So I would be curious to see if they go forward with that, Anna, because that's going to be, if they're going to jump out there, I mean, Mike Turner and all these Republicans, they get classified info and they go to a SCIF, a secure compartmentalized facility, in the Capitol to review it. They don't take it back to their office. So I'm shocked that they're even holding that press conference, aren't you?
It's going to be interesting to see what they comes out from it, right? I think they're, you know, and I think you've seen a lot of other, you know, kind of pretty serious Republicans when it comes to, you know, the Intel committee, even, you know, a Marco Rubio and some of the things that have come out where you've had a lot of Republicans really defend the president. And I think the question is, as more information comes out, how serious was the documentation? Who was, into the point of the videos, who was visiting Mar-a-Lago? This is not the first time that there has been allegations of foreign nationals trying to infiltrate Mar-a-Lago and get close to the president, or, you know, kind of get, you know, use Mar-a-Lago as kind of the place where they can, you know, bypass security and other things. So it seems like the first turn of the screw, not the last one, when it comes to this story and exactly what the FBI was looking for, as well as how serious. I mean, certainly Merrick Garland said, you know, he signed off on this. It wasn't as if, you know, this was done without understanding how serious it was going to be. And so I think that is going to be the question, is, you know, a lot of people have kind of jumped to the defense, but, you know, as you said, a lot of these members get intel and they have to go in there, and the how you treat it and what, where those kinds of documents are, you know, it's very rigorous and for a reason.
Yeah. This is like the America, some of America's like most, you know, highly guarded secrets. So yeah, I'm very curious to see what happens.
All right, let's go to the number three story of the morning. Really interesting. I found a poll from Fox News, which has a very respected polling operation, had a generic ballot even between Republicans and Democrats on Thursday. Can House Republicans blow it? We have been saying for months that basically all historical indicators, what's happening in terms of the inflation and the economy, you know, House Republicans in particular look like they're going to be taking the majority. But this is not great news when it comes to House Republicans.
Yeah, so it's not a good signal, but I would say this, and I think I agree with you. It's obviously bad for Republicans, but the generic ballot test is a national mood test, basically. It's not only in the districts they need to win. So there's no question that Democrats have had a better couple months than they otherwise had in the months before. So I think, yeah, it's not a great signal. The race is clearly tightening. They're passing the reconciliation bill, which a lot of Democrats hope will put them over the line. Just a lot of it's pretty popular in their estimation. I think this is going to give Republicans some heartache, but I think generally speaking, this is a national mood test that is not that they believe should not be indicative of where they are in the seats that they need to win, because this is taking into account everywhere, not only the seats they need to win.
All right. Well, that's certainly something that we are going to be watching in the days and weeks ahead. Thank you so much for listening. Happy Friday. Leave us a rating and review, or share the Daily Punch yourself. It's the best way for folks to find out about us. You could also subscribe to our free morning newsletter at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe.